Perched high on a mountain in the Cairngorms, the scientists of the Mount McKibber Observatory guard us against alien invasion. Their mission: to watch the skies. Episode 4. Saffron Star, Queen of Outer Space.
Dr. Poppy Zeitgeist, personal log. Here at the Mount McKibber Space Science Institute, we all work for SADO, the top secret government organisation dedicated to protecting the UK against alien invasion. Obviously, we have to be security conscious at all times, which is why I'm whispering, and why my personal computer files are safeguarded against any possible intrusion. Hello everyone, it's me! I'm back after a fabulous ride on a magnificent chopper.
Sorry, Annabelle, what was that?
I've just arrived back in a helicopter.
Oh, right. Thought I hadn't seen you for a couple of days. Been shopping again?
No. I've been away filming an episode of that new TV show, Scientebrity Challenge.
Scientebrity Challenge? Oh, right. That thing where pairs of science celebrities compete against each other in a series of wacky contests of prowess and skill.
Yes. Can you believe they teamed me up with Robert Winston? Couldn't they just have reanimated a mummy?
Oh, yeah. Bad luck with that. And the other team were?
Richard Dawkins and Carol Vorderman. You know, that woman that was on TV ages ago doing sums or something.
So, how did it go?
Well, they beat us in the obstacle course. Who knew that Dawkins was so nimble? The custard pie fight was a draw, but we totally crushed them in the karaoke with our killer version of You're the One That I Want. Of course, I was mostly carrying Winston on that.
Nice. Can't wait to see it.
I can see you're keeping yourself busy.
Oh, you know me, Annabelle. Always tearing up the envelope and kicking loose of the box. That's why I'm wearing this t-shirt that says Dangerous Ideas at Work.
Doogie, your t-shirt says Danger Idiot at Work.
Oh, no. Well, I've been reading it upside down.
Well, anyway, why are you messing about with Daisy's computer?
You mean Poppy's, Annabelle?
Oh, don't quibble, Doogie. What are you up to?
Well, it's Poppy's birthday next week, and I thought if I had a nose about on her computer, I might get some ideas for a really special present. It wasn't hard to get in. The password is rabbit, of course.
Special present, eh? Do I detect a whiff of courtship in the air?
I don't smell it. Oh, courtship? No. I just want Poppy to know how much we appreciate her.
How much do we appreciate her?
A lot, Annabelle. We appreciate her a lot.
Oh, well, if we must. So where is Daisy right now while you're riffling through her folders?
Oh, she's closeted away with the prof doing science stuff.
Come on then, tell me what juicy secrets you found tucked away on her hard drive.
Well, so far it's just cute pictures of rabbits and some really nice biscuit recipes. Oh, hang on though, this looks interesting. Hey, she's been writing a story.
Saffron Star, Queen of Outer Space? Oh, sounds like a trashy bee movie to me.
Ah, well, you don't want to waste your time reading about bees, Annabelle. You just leave it to me and I'll let you know if it's any good. Hey, what's happened to the screen? It's gone all fuzzy.
And the lights are flickering all over the place.
Something's up, that's for sure.
We'd better go and find Hadrian. He probably forgot to pay the electricity bill or something.
Well, that's a bit of a down. I really wanted to read that story.
Oh, forget about it, Doogie. Lord knows what nonsense goes through Daisy's mind.
Saffron star, wind of outer space, defending the human race. She has her own base. Saffron star.
After completing a successful mission, glamorous space smuggler Saffron Star and her Rabbit Man co-pilot Buzz Minnie are flying their starship, the Reckless Venture, through the Abraxas system.
Ship's log, Universal Time Coordinate 3759/44-68. No, that should be -59/77.
Saffron. It's Tuesday lunchtime, okay?
Yes, I suppose that will do. So, Buzz, that's a tidy profit we made from selling that consignment of bifangular snivets on Bulba 7.
Yeah, right, Saffron. But there's one thing I don't understand.
You mean the complex relationship between time and energy that allows us to fly between the stars in hours rather than centuries?
Nobody understands that. It's completely crackers. No, I mean, what are bifangular snivets?
Well, they're snivets, of course, but snivets that have two fangules instead of one, which obviously is much better.
Yeah, right. But what exactly does a snivet do?
Do? Well, it does that thing that works a lot better if you have fangules, preferably two.
And a fangule would be...
Look, Buzz, the point is that they're worth 20 strontium credits each to anybody who does know what they're for.
Hey, what was that noise? The microwave's not on the blink again, is it?
No, you twit. We're being attacked by Imperial pursuit ships. They must be on the lookout for smugglers.
Oh, that's a relief. I just put a Falfraxian curry in the microwave for my tea.
Oh, no, Buzz. Those things stink out the whole ship.
That's because they're full of goodness. Well, root bugs and silicon weevils.
Those shots are getting a bit close. We need to get out of here. Buzz, make the jump to Meta Drive.
Right, the big red button. Oh, that started the windscreen wipers.
No, it's this one, the small yellow button.
You know, it wouldn't hurt to label some of these buttons.
Whoa! Hang on, Buzz. We'll be back in normal space in a few seconds.
Oh, my stomach won't be.
Phew! That's a relief. How did they sneak up on us like that? I thought your people had a special danger sense.
Oh, right. Just because we evolved from rabbits, that means we're supposed to be able to sense danger, does it? And I suppose we have to be really cute as well and eat lots of carrots.
You do eat lots of carrots.
Well, yeah, that bit is true. But it's no excuse for stereotyping an entire civilization.
You live in holes in the ground and spend 98% of your time breeding. I'm not sure I'd call that a civilization.
Hey, don't knock it, Saffron. Human beings would do the same if they could get away with it.
What was that?
We seem to have popped out of metaspace right in the middle of a meteor swarm.
Why does that always happen? Hang on, I'll steer us through.
We'd better get out of this alive, Saffron. It's my children's birthday party next week, and I've got 348 presents to buy.
There, we're in the clear. Nice flying, eh?
Yeah, but, Saffron, what's that dead ahead? Please tell me it's a moon.
That's no moon. Oh, wait, it is.
Yeah, but what's that huge be-weaponed space dreadnought coming out from behind it?
We're out of luck, Buzz. It's the Imperial flagship, the Tritanic, and they've got us in their grabber beam.
Oh, I hope it's less scary on the inside.
Saffron star, wind of outer space.
These Imperial guards don't say much, do they?
They're hive drones, raised with no independent will, who mindlessly obey every command of their officers. They were originally bred to work in galactic call centres.
Ouch! They are really good at poking you in the back with their rifles, though. What do you think they want with us?
Well, I expect they'll sentence me to 20 years on the prison colony of Miserimus Delta, digging in the tritanium mines in one of those awful black prison bikinis.
You're lucky. They'll probably make me into a pie.
Welcome aboard my Imperial flagship, brave space travellers.
Don't expect me to beg for mercy. I'm not going to risk getting a ladder in my tights.
Oh, I'm sure none of us want that.
Hey, you're him. The Emperor Grandivox the 12th, supreme ruler of the fifth circle of the universe.
That's right. If you're peckish, there's some meat paste sandwiches on the table there.
Oh, thanks, Grandy. You're a good bloke.
What? How gullible do you think we are? They're bound to be drugged or poisoned or something.
Are you sure about that, Saffron? I've scarfed three of them already.
So, what brings you aboard my Imperial flagship?
You caught us in a grabber beam and dragged us here.
Really? Well, I suppose I must have had a good reason. You do look familiar. I say, aren't you Zarabel Minx, star of that rather racy Trivid show, Minx's Milky Way?
Certainly not. I'm Saffron Star, the greatest space pilot in three galaxies. I've outrun the fastest Imperial cruisers, and I hold 15 metaspace jump records.
14, Saffron. Remember Zack Zodiac broke your record for the Cisperian run?
Only by travelling backwards in time, the big cheat.
So you don't have any saucy calendars for sale then?
No!
Well, fortuitously, as it happens, I do have a use for a skilled pilot.
No, you don't, Grandivox.
Who's this, then?
This is Ravonda, my robot consort.
As I was saying, Grandivox, I'm perfectly capable of piloting this mission myself.
And what mission would that be, exactly?
Well, it's a little embarrassing, but one of our ships has gone slightly missing in the Lost Nebula.
Sheer carelessness. If they had used the star charts I prepared, cross-referencing the stellar nexus points and plotting a parallelepipedal course through the fourth level of metaspace, all would be well. But no, they thought they'd just flick to page 635 of the Rough Guide to the Multiverse and look out for a few landmarks on the way.
The Lost Nebula? Saffron, where is that exactly?
Well, the real problem, Buzz, is that it's surrounded by cosmic storms, swirling destructive vortices of dark energy.
And that's precisely why we require a really top-class pilot to navigate a path through those very storms.
If your crews were properly trained, Grandivox, we wouldn't be in this situation. I did set out a detailed instruction program involving change management subsystems, peer leadership assessments, and an interdisciplinary oversight committee. But would anyone listen? No!
I'm sorry, Poppet, what was that?
Struth, Grandy, she's a bit hard to take, eh?
Unfortunately, it's written into the Imperial Constitution that the Emperor must have a robotic consort.
Yes, to make sure that he rules the Empire along entirely rational lines.
Actually, I think it's to make sure nobody wants the job.
So why should I undertake this dangerous, near-suicidal mission for you?
Well, obviously, you can name your reward.
In that case, I want a full pardon.
Pardon? Pardon for what?
For my many crimes, of course.
What crimes?
Smuggling, piracy, forgery, bribery of Imperial officials, impersonating a planetary grebe inspector.
My, you have been a naughty girl. Are you sure you're not Zarabel Minx?
Yes, I'm completely sure. Now, do we have a deal?
Yes, of course. I accept your terms.
I don't get it, Grandy. Why all this fuss about one lost spaceship? Haven't you got, I don't know, about 3 million of them?
Ah, you see, this ship carried a very special passenger, and even now he may be a prisoner of Allura, Vampire Queen of the Lost Nebula.
Saffron Star, wind of outer space.
Well, that bath was most invigorating. That Galbasian gator blood is so good for the complexion, don't you think? How do I look, Professor Steinmetz?
Yes, yes, very useful, I'm sure.
Well, don't get too enthusiastic. I'm only your queen, after all.
Look, I may be only a disembodied head floating in a luminescent sphere, but it seems to me a spot of cold cream would do the job just as well.
Good heavens, man. Did you lose all sense of style along with your body? You know what? I think I'll have another bath right now.
That is going to be difficult. We're running very low on Galbasian gator blood, and not to mention the distilled lizard plasma.
Running low? Why?
The Emperor has pressed ahead with his policy of minimum pricing on hemoglobin.
That swine. I'll show him. How is that new weapon of indescribable destructive power coming along?
Well, it's difficult to describe, as you can imagine.
Who's that at the door? Not another hyperglazing salesman, I hope. I mean, how many windows do we need with a view over metaspace?
No, according to my communications feed, one of your Amazon patrol vessels has just landed. And they have a prisoner.
Really? That sounds like fun. Well, open the door for them.
Greetings, Your Majesty. Wow, you look totes amazeballs.
Do you really think so?
Yeah, have you been working out?
Just the usual, bathing in the blood of xenomorphic reptiles and eating low-fat yogurt. What about my hair?
Mega gorgeous! It's so shiny, I'm getting a tan just looking at it.
Enough flattery, girls. Well, for now, anyway, what do you have to report?
Your Majesty, we bring you a prize beyond price.
Oh, sounds marvy. Tell me more.
Well, we found an Imperial scout ship crashed on the seventh moon of Deseria.
Tiffany, it wasn't the seventh moon, it was the third moon. The seventh moon is the one that's covered in jungle.
No, Brandy, it isn't. The fourth moon is all jungle. The seventh moon is the blue desert world. Honestly, you are such a blemish.
The fifth moon is the blue desert world, clueless. The fourth moon is our swamp. Remember when you dropped us there with the landing legs retracted?
Yuck, I did not, you bitch. And you're the one that screwed up on the approach vector to Cygnus Alpha and crashed us on the dark side of the planet Tenebrosa.
You lying slut! I broke a nail getting us out of that mess you dropped us in on Calliotrope Sigma.
Tiffany! Brandy! Girls, please. Now, where's this prize you were talking about?
Here it is, Your Majesty. A man.
Kind of a dreamboat, ain't he?
Welcome to my obsidian fortress, handsome. Had a bit of trouble with re-entry, did you?
You get nothing out of me, you she-devil. Use any torture you like. Zenibian ball worms, the psionic lash, Krista Berg. I shall never reveal my identity to you.
He's Derek, Imperial Prince, son of the Emperor Grandivox.
What? How did you discover my secret? Do you have a spy in the Imperial court?
No, it says so on the label of your suitcase.
Curse my exclusive monogrammed luggage.
A prince, eh? Now that has possibilities.
Don't imagine you'll get any sort of ransom for me. My father will never negotiate with vampires.
Vampire is such an ugly word, don't you think? It's not like I drink people's blood or anything.
Well, you do bathe in the blood of exotic zoomorphs to maintain your youthful appearance. Great space! What happened to him? He's just a head floating in a glass bowl. Yes, funny story. I was experimenting with my new teleport beam and what do you know? There's a glitch.
Never mind about him, Derek. Now that you're my helpless prisoner, maybe we could have dinner tonight. Perhaps we could discuss the secret codes for the Imperial Defense Network.
Saffron Star in the outer space.
Dr. Poppy Zeitgeist personal log. Professor Sprout has asked me to join him in his office for a private meeting. I'm pretty sure he's about to unveil a staggering new theory of physics that will represent a total paradigm shift in our view of the universe.
And so, dear colleagues, the inescapable conclusion of my detailed calculations and of what I have extrapolated from proven and undeniable facts is this, that Pluto is definitely a planet. And any bastard who says it isn't can meet me outside and we'll settle this like men. There, Dr. Zeitgeist, That is the speech I intend to deliver to the Astronomical Congress in Geneva. What do you think?
Well, Professor, it certainly was very forceful, and I'm sure it will be persuasive.
Yes, given the weighty nature of the subject matter, I have spent weeks composing it, rather in the spirit of the bard who composed the great Icelandic sagas.
Yes, it really is very well crafted. As a matter of fact, Professor, I've been working on a sort of saga myself, a space saga. Maybe, if you have a spare moment, if you aren't too busy with other things, maybe you'd like to read it. It's a story about...
Great Asgard! What's happened to light?
Oh, and Professor, you collect romantic spoons just dancing in the air.
Extraordinary! It's as though some electromagnetic force is affecting everything in the building and driving it completely doolally.
Do you think we should go upstairs to the telescope dome and ask Ron if he knows what's going on?
Yes, he's a damned reclusive bounder, but possibly the most brilliant mind living at these altitudes. That's handy. Here's a message from Ron now, coming down the pneumatic tube.
Ooh, Professor! A furry little creature has jumped out of the tube, and he's waving a pair of flags around.
Why, yes, it's Sydney, Ron's pet gerbil. He's trained him to communicate using semaphore. Let's see if I can translate. He says all this electrical activity stems from an arcane device left here many years ago.
What sort of a device?
Apparently, it's called a retroflux stigmatizer. Loki alone knows what that means. Anyway, the point is that it's activated itself, and we need to shut it off if we are to return our systems to normal.
How do we do that, Professor? I mean, where is this device?
Ah, no, that is the bad news, Dr. Zeitgeist. It was stashed away long ago in the shed at the bottom of the garden.
That's funny. Your voice went all echoey there.
Watch the skies!
Back aboard the Reckless Venture, Saffron Star and Buzzbini leave the Imperial flagship with a pair of unwelcome passengers.
What do you mean, unwelcome? I'm the Emperor Grandivox. I'm the one who recruited that underdressed young woman for this mission.
Look, pal. I'm the narrator of this story, and if I say you and that robot are unwelcome, then you are. And what is more, you have no business barging in here and interrupting my narration.
I beg your pardon, my good man, but as absolute ruler of the fifth circle of the universe, I do whatever I choose. My word is law.
Oh, whoa, hot the dog. As I'm the one telling the story, it's my word that's law. Whatever I say, that is what happens.
What are you talking about, you presumptuous puppy?
Listen to this. It was then that, for reasons of his own, the Emperor Grandivox decided to abdicate the throne and retire to a grub farm on the frozen desert planet of Nimbus Obscura.
Hang on! There's no need for that.
Well, are you going to sod off and let me get on with the story?
All right, I suppose so. But only if I can go back to being emperor.
But at the last moment, Grandivox changed his mind and decided that, for the good of his people, he would carry on being their ruler. There. Now you know where the door is. Hop it.
Can I have one of these martinis before I go?
No. Now Saffron and Buzz prepare to blast off in the most dangerous adventure of their lives.
Right, Buzz. We're clear of the Imperial flagship. Set course for the Lost Nebula.
How am I supposed to do that?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean it's lost, right? So before we can set a course for it, we'd have to find it first.
It does have a point. Perhaps we should sit down and discuss this over a round of mint juleps. I take it this ship does have a bar.
It has a mini bar, but the prices are astronomical. 50 plexigrates for a packet of cheesy nibbles.
You do have a point, Buzz. About the Lost Nebula, I mean.
Idiots! It's not lost, it's simply been misfiled. Let me check your computer back. Ah, here it is. Filed under gaseous anomalies. Typical!
If you had adopted the Fingal-Barr Celestial Catalogue Index, whereby objects are classified by stellar mass cross-reference with time displacement, you would have merely had to enter the correct 400-digit code to find the coaxial coordinates aligning you to the transplanetary chronogrid.
Well, of course. It sounds simple when you put it like that.
Right. Course laid in, and off we go.
Best speed to the Lost Nebula, Miss Starr. I cannot overemphasize the importance of haste.
Given your penchant for hyperbole, Grandivox, I'm sure you could if you put your mind to it.
What I don't understand is, what was your son doing poking around in a place as dangerous as the Lost Nebula?
Yes. He was searching for Allura, the Vampire Queen's secret base on the planet Glamoria Prime. You see, word has reached us that she is developing a weapon of indescribable destructive power, a device so utterly terrifying that we are only allowed to refer to it in the vaguest possible terms.
Oh, sounds scary. What does it do?
I told you, it's so utterly mind-numbingly dreadful that we can only allude to it in an oblique fashion that conveys no actual information. Didn't you see that in the script notes?
Oh, yeah, right. Well, I guess we better put a stop to our insane plan then, eh?
Look, 3 parsecs ahead, quantum flux displacement field.
What, you mean that big purple swirly thing?
Yes, it's the cosmic storm that guards the way into the Lost Nebula.
By the fires of Phobos, it's time for you to show us your stuff, Miss Starr. By which, of course, I mean steer a path through that swirling mass of energy, not pose in a swimsuit beside the gelatinous ocean of Globuline 5.
I told you, I'm not Zarabel Minx.
Oh, easy, Saffron, keep your eyes on the road. We nearly lost a wing mirror there.
No, go left at this bit. Now right! Watch out for that plasma burst.
Will you shut up? You're really not helping. There, we're through. I told you I was good.
And if my calculations are correct, which of course they are, then that is the planet Glamoria Prime dead ahead.
Oh yes, there it is. An innocent, fur-scented orb set against the blackness of space. It's hard to believe it harbours such unspeakable evil.
That's the air freshener dangling over the windscreen, Grandivox. Glamoria Prime is that baleful sphere swathed in turbulent azure clouds, pulsing with a hellish volcanic glare.
Oh, of course. Damned queer-looking place, I must say.
Establishing orbit now. Come on, Buzz, let's get our atmoshoots on.
Okay, what for?
We're going to jump down to the planet's surface, of course. Your Imperial Highness, you'd best stay here and wait for my signal.
You mean wait here aboard the ship rather than leap from an orbiting vessel 100 kilometres straight down onto the surface of a hostile planet? Yes, yes, I think I'll follow your advice.
You always were a procrastinator, Grandivox.
Right, that's the escape hatch, Buzz. Get ready to jump.
I'm sorry, Saffron. But there's no way I'm jumping out of an orbiting spaceship. Atmoshoot or no atmoshoot.
I thought your people were good at jumping.
There you go again. My people. Look, we're good at hopping, not jumping. Hopping is totally different. Here, stop pushing me.
Seven stars in the outer space.
On the ground. There was no need for all that fuss, was there?
It's a lucky thing these hibernating ice pandas broke out full. That's all I can say.
Look out! They're waking up! Run for it!
Phew, that was close. One of them nearly had my fluffy tail off there.
Now all we have to do is find the secret base of Allura the Vampire Queen.
Look, and this is just a guess. But do you suppose it might be that huge black castle over there? The one covered in skulls with the sign over the door that says Blood Donors Welcome?
Well
spotted, Buzz. Come on, let's go.
There's no way I'm going in there. Do you see my whiskers twitching? That's a sure sign there's danger ahead.
Come on, Buzz. Don't be such a wuss.
Nothing in the universe will get me to follow you into that castle.
Will you do it for a carrot?
Well, only if it's a really big one.
How about this one?
Deal.
Look, do you see that line of robots filing in through the service entrance?
Rabbits? Where? I don't see any rabbits.
I said robots, you twerp. If we mingle with them, we can get inside unnoticed.
Well, I'm not crazy about going in the rear, but I suppose it's a plan.
Saffron Star in the outer space.
So, Derek, what do you think of the entertainment here on Glamoria Prime?
Well, I suppose your musicians aren't too bad, considering they're sentient tree stumps who have to play their instruments using telekinesis.
Yes, although I do wish they could play more than that one tune.
I say, here come those two strapping girls who rescued me from that godforsaken moon.
But I can't think why they're wearing those leather bodices. I'm quite sure this is Gold Bikini Day.
Your Majesty, we have captured two intruders.
Oh, well done, Tiffany.
I'm Brandy, she's Tiffany.
Are you sure, Tiffany?
No, I'm Tiffany, she's Brandy.
Yes. So, moving on, girls. You said intruders.
Yes, Your Majesty, we caught them poking around in the kitchen.
Tiffany, we caught them in the pantry.
Oh, will you grow a brain? The pantry's part of the kitchen, doofus.
No, it isn't, you tramp. It's a completely separate room.
Duh, it's a closet, not a room. You sow.
Girls, please. So what have we here? A girl in a silver spacesuit and a bunny man.
Actually, the correct term is lycanthrope.
No, Buzz, a lycanthrope is a werewolf.
Really? Damn, I'd better change my profile on that dating website.
So, are you going to tell me what you're doing on my planet, or will I have to hang you upside down over a vat of acid?
You don't scare us, you blood-sucking witch!
Blood-sucking? Really, I don't know how these rumours get started.
Yeah, she's right. You'll get nothing out of us about our top-secret mission for the Emperor.
The Emperor? Are you saying my father sent you?
Hey, Saffron, this must be the bloke we're here to rescue.
Derek, what unspeakable tortures has she subjected you to?
It's been awful. First we had to have a candlelit dinner for two, followed by a carriage ride in the park, and then back to the castle for champagne and truffles.
And that's when the fun really started.
Don't worry, I didn't tell her a thing about the layout of the Imperial Defence Fortresses.
Oh, that's not the sort of layout I was interested in, big boy.
Well, since Buzz has spilled the beans, you black-hearted fiend, you may as well know that I'm Saffron Star, Ace Space Pilot, and we're going to thwart your evil plans, whatever they are, free Derek, and escape back to the Empire.
Boring! I don't think so, Space Girl. I think I'll feed you and the Bunny Man to Gilligaminax, the omnivorous serpent who dwells in the Forbidden Desert.
I'm afraid that is not going to be possible, Your Majesty.
Why on Glamoria Prime not, may I ask?
Gilligaminax, the omnivorous serpent who dwells in the Forbidden Desert, has been plagued with heartburn and refuses to eat any more of your enemies.
Well, that really is the limit. Look, come up with some other horrid way of executing them and make it snappy. You, musicians, who told you to stop playing? Give me a tune to soothe my shattered nerves. Well, go on.
Buzz, it's time for you to do that special thing your people do.
What? You mean hop around looking cute?
No.
You don't mean breed, do you? This doesn't seem like an appropriate time for it.
Oh, no, you twit. You know your people have that biological defence where you let loose a cloud of noxious gas that chokes your enemies so you can escape from them.
Shush, Saffron, don't talk about that. It's really embarrassing.
I don't care how embarrassing it is. It's our only chance to rescue Derek and escape whatever horrible fate that vampire witch and her floating head dream up for us. Go on, I'll hold my breath.
Well, All right, then.
Oh, my God! What is that awful stench? Derek, this way!
You know, Saffron, I don't think it really smells all that bad.
Just shut up and run for it!
Saffron Star, wind of outer space.
Right, now that we're outside, I can activate my rescue beacon.
Saffron Star, wind of outer space.
Ah, welcome back aboard, Miss Star, and just in time to interrupt my being slaughtered at another game of Scrabble.
Just as I was about to get a triple word score.
Yes, mission accomplished, Your Imperial Highness. See, I told you I was good.
Ah, Derek, my beloved son. How good to see you saved from the clutches of the evil vampire queen.
Actually, Peyton, it wasn't so bad down there. I wouldn't have minded sticking around for a couple of more days.
Grandy, I've been meaning to ask you. If your consort's a robot, how did you manage to have a son?
Softly there, Mr. Benny. Suffice it to say that what happens on the pleasure moons of Sybaris Delta stays on the pleasure moons of Sybaris Delta.
Right. Time to steer a course for home.
That's going to be rather difficult, seeing as how we've been suddenly surrounded by an Amazon battle fleet.
Blimey, that was quick.
Oh, we're being hailed by that ship out there. The one that looks like a giant iron bat.
You don't get away that easily, Saffron Star. And I'm very disappointed in you, Derek. I had puffin souffle in the oven, a bottle of Chablis on ice, and the baby oil in the microwave.
Oh, sounds lovely. Sorry about that.
Well, that's a delightful evening, completely spoiled. Now I'll just have to destroy you all.
I don't think so, you exsanguinary harlot. You see, as I was steering us through the cosmic storm, I laid a trail of space beacons behind us so that the Imperial fleet could follow our path through.
By the prismatic pulses of Procyon, that's clever.
I would have thought of that, if anyone had bothered to ask me.
Yeah, anyway, here comes the Imperial fleet now. Say, you sure have a lot of ships, Grandy.
It was buy one, get one free. And each of them has enough firepower to devastate a planet.
Amazon fleet, assume attack formation. Scratch their eyes out, girls!
Saffron Star, wind of outer space.
Dr. Poppy Zeitgeist, personal log. Even though I've been at Mount Macabre for some weeks now, there are still places I'm not familiar with. Like the garden. It looks really creepy. But I'm sure mostly that there's nothing to be afraid of. Mostly. Professor, this garden is so overgrown that even the weeds are being choked by weeds, which have other weeds growing on them.
Yes, indeed, Dr. Zeitgeist. Nature has run wild here, and evolution takes no prisoners.
I hope we can find this thing and shut it off quickly. My hairdryer has gone completely haywire.
So, Prof, why isn't this spandexizer in the basement with all the other junk that's been dumped there?
Well, young Stinger, the origins of this particular device are rather obscure, but it arrived with specific instructions to keep it well away from all other technology. And now I think we can see why.
But, Professor, why is everyone so afraid of the shed at the bottom of the garden? Daisy, why did your voice go all echoey there?
Oh, well now, years ago we had a gardener, green-fingered chap with a limp, named Timkins. Now that I think of it, I have no idea why he gave a name to his limp. But anyway, one day he came rushing out of that shed, screaming in absolute terror, ran straight down the mountain, took the first plane to Tokyo, and has been living in self-imposed silence in a Shinto temple ever since. From that day on, no one has dared set foot in the place.
It sounds like superstitious nonsense to me. I'm sure there's a perfectly reasonable scientific explanation.
Yeah, it's probably just ghosts or vampires.
Well, gentlemen, the moment of truth. Here we are at the garden shed.
Ugh, looks really creepy. I'm certainly glad I'm not going in there.
Yeah, me too.
Stinger, you are going in there.
Yes, Doogie, you drew the short straw, remember?
Yeah, you know, that whole system makes no sense at all. I mean, the bloke that draws the short straw is unlucky, right? So isn't he the last person you'd send on a dangerous mission?
We can debate the metaphysics of chance at a later date, young Stinger.
Yes, you need to get inside and find the retroflux stigmatizer before it blows every circuit for miles.
All right, stop shoving.
Now switch on your torch and use the walkie-talkie to stay in constant contact.
Okay, I'm going in now.
It's really dark and dusty in here.
What do you see?
Oh, there's cobwebs, rat droppings, mould, and that's just the nice stuff. You know, it looks really small on the outside, but on the inside, it's even smaller.
Special distortion may be one of the side effects of the stigmatizer.
No, I think it's just crammed so full of junk.
Hadrian, what exactly is this machine supposed to do?
Its exact purpose appears to be unfathomable. But then, the same is true of the Brazilian tree mole.
I'm going past some mucky shelves full of pots and seeds and trowels and stuff. Hey, there's a weird silver ball here with lots of flashing lights all over it. Do you suppose that's it?
Of course that's it.
Examine it carefully, young Stinger. Can you see an off switch?
There's a kind of knobbly bit here. It feels pretty weird under my hand, but I'll press it and see what happens.
Well, Doogie, don't keep it a secret. What happened?
Well, there are even more lights flashing now.
By the valleys of Vanaheim, man, bring that orb out here so we can deactivate it.
Hang on, Prof, there's something moving in here. Let's just shine the torch on it and... Oh, sweet Mary Jane, no! Not that!
Stinger, what is it? What do you see?
Ah!
Steady on, Doogie! Nearly knocked me over.
Here's the spoolinator, Poppy. Now run for it. They're right behind me.
What, man? What are right behind you?
Midges. Giant mutant midges.
Don't be ridiculous, Stinger.
By the fangs of Fafnir, he's right, you know. Everybody, run!
Watch the skies.
Above the skies of Glamoria Prime, a terrible battle begins as two mighty space fleets fight to determine the fate of the galaxy. Things are getting jolly exciting, aren't they?
This is Red Leader. We're making our attack run now. Fire photonic blasters!
Azure Squadron attack! You go, girls! Fire quantum torpedoes!
This is Gold Leader launching cesium mines now.
Attack Wing Zeta! Neutron darts away!
Look, Professor Steinmax, there's that meddling cow, Saffron Star, dead ahead. I'll teach her to ruin my date. Let's power up this ultimate weapon of yours.
Be very careful, Your Majesty. The controls are so sensitive, the slightest jolt could mean disaster.
Oh, what are you so afraid of? It's not like you've got much left to lose.
Yes, but you know what they say. It's best to quit while you're ahead.
Right. I'm arming the ultimate weapon now.
Saffron, Allura's ship is right on our tail.
Yes, and according to my scanner, she's about to launch that weapon of indescribable destructive power that everyone's been making such a ridiculous fuss about.
Right, Buzz. It's time for Space Maneuver X-77.
Is that the one where we spin around in our revolving chairs until we make ourselves sick?
No, you don't.
It's the one where we swing around that dwarf star dead ahead, using its gravity to create a slingshot effect that will bring us directly behind the enemy to blast them from the rear. Here goes! Firing proton blasters now!
Wow! Nice shot, Saffron!
Yes! That was a bigger bang than I expected. Her super weapon must have gone off inside her ship.
Indeed, the Vampire Queen's vessel appears to have been swallowed by a spontaneously generated black hole.
Well, that's a relief. At least we know there won't be a sequel.
I wouldn't count on that. She's probably travelled backwards in time, or popped out into a parallel universe, or something else equally ludicrous.
Well, gone is gone in my book.
Oh, well, we'll always have the dungeons of the Obsidian Fortress.
Look, there are lights flashing on the communications console. I hope it's not another one of those sales calls about timeshare habitat spheres on the lava world of Inferno Extremis. I already have 12 of them.
It's the Amazon fleet signalling their surrender.
Hi there. Listen, we totes want to surrender unconditionally.
No, stupid, not unconditionally. We want guaranteed access to hair care products.
Well, obviously I meant that, Tiffany. Honestly, you're such a doofus bitch. I swore that, you skank.
Yes, well, I think we can switch that off now. Anyway, good show, Miss Star. You've saved the entire universe, if I'm any judge of exaggerated exclamations. I say we head back to the Imperial Capital to pass out some medals and celebrate with a jolly good tea.
Hurrah!
Saffron Star, wind of outer space, defending the human race. She has her own base, Saffron Star.
Dr. Poppy Zeitgeist, personal log. My time at Mount McCaber has presented me with a lot of unusual challenges. I just hope my expertise in particle physics, quantum theory, and cosmology will help me deal with them.
It's no good. We'll never outrun those awful insects.
Yes, they're closing in. The radiation from the stigmatizer must have mutated them to this size.
By the middens of Midgard, they're as big as golf balls. They'll strip the flesh from our bones in seconds.
Yeah, like flying piranhas.
We'll have to improvise a weapon. Quick, what has everybody got on them?
I have a box of matches. Swan Vesta, of course.
I have a bottle of Midnight Inferno perfume. Very expensive.
I've got some used chewing gum and a piece of string.
Right, give it all to me. Annabelle, do you suppose this perfume of yours is flammable?
Flammable? It's absolutely incendiary. Why else would I wear it?
Okay, now I'll use the chewing gum to fix the bottle of perfume to the stigmatizer. The string can act as a fuse, and I'll light it with one of the professor's matches. There.
Yes, it's very Damienhurst, Daisy, but what's it for?
Don't you see? The fuse will ignite the perfume, and the burning perfume will overheat the power cell in the stigmatizer, resulting in an explosion of indeterminate force.
Daisy, I'm not sure that makes any...
No, it makes perfect sense to me.
In that case, Dr. Zeitgeist, I advise that you lob it into the swarm now.
Right. Here goes.
Wow, that's quite a lot of them.
Well done, Daisy. I haven't been this impressed since my date with Usain Bolt.
Yes, Dr. Zeitgeist. In one fell swoop, you've destroyed that pernicious machine and the voracious insects along with it. You've certainly saved the day, and it's not even tea time.
Really? Do you really think so?
Let's face it, Poppy. You are a bit of a hero.
Oh, well, I don't know what to say.
Well, I do. I say we head off to Mrs. McNulty's tea room for a celebration. The Darjeeling and carrot cake are on me.
Well, Poppy, I suppose we'll never know what that weird little machine was for.
No, it will have to remain a mystery, just like bifangular snivets.
Binocular what, did you say?
Oh, nothing, Stinger. Nothing.
Saffron Star, wind of outer space, defending the human race. She has her own moon base. Saffron Star, flying through the galaxy in silver lingerie. As free as she can be, as free as she can be.
Watch the Skies is a Quantum Fridge production, written, produced, and ineptly directed by Bob Harris and Alan McFadden, and brought to life by the Peak Performance Players with Claire Fulton as Poppy Zeitgeist and Saffron Star, Al Reeve as Doug Stinger and Buzz Benee, Laura Stewart as Annabelle Fox and Allura, Vampire Queen of the Lost Nebula, Chris McLaughlin as Professor Sprout and Emperor Grandivox the 12th, John Mitchell as Narrator and Prince Derek, Jane Field as Ravonda, Debbie Harris as Tiffany, no wait, Brandy? No, Tiffany. Pam Robertson as Brandy, definitely Brandy, pretty sure of that. Other voices and background distractions were provided by whatever hangers-on were looking busy at the time. This episode was recorded at Sunny Bray Studios, Lucas Fife, and lovingly engineered by AJ Harris.
The Watch the Skies theme song is performed by The Shrugs.
In compliance with European regulations on thespian welfare, sandwiches were provided.
Watch the skies.
Where's my focus?